Good morning. It's Wednesday, June 12th. I'm Yasmin Khan, in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, voters in one state slap an age limit on members of Congress. What comes next after the Hunter Biden guilty verdict? And a milestone for survivors of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary. We'll start with Gaza. The U.S. is evaluating Hamas's response to the ceasefire proposal backed by President Biden and the U.N. Security Council. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that some of Hamas's proposed changes are workable and some are not. Earlier on his trip to the region, he said a deal between Israel and Hamas could save lives.
We have the prospect of an immediate ceasefire, building toward an enduring one, and tremendous relief for people in Gaza.
Blinken also announced more than $400 million in new humanitarian aid for Gaza and encouraged other countries to increase donations. In Malawi, investigators are looking into the plane crash that killed Vice President Saulos Chilima and 9 other passengers. The country's president said that air traffic control had advised the plane against landing because of poor visibility. They lost contact soon after that. In the U.S., new FBI stats show what the Justice Department calls a historic drop in violent crime. Data from the first quarter of this year shows a notable decline in the murder rate, more than 26%. Property crimes are also down. It's not yet clear what's driving the downward shift. Despite the hard numbers, opinion polling shows that many Americans believe that crime is worse than it actually is. And several states held primaries yesterday. North Dakota voters overwhelmingly passed an unusual measure setting an age limit for members of Congress. Ahead of the vote, PBS talked to campaign leader Jared Hendricks about the case for a cap.
We do think that there is a lot of wisdom that comes with age, but of course there's a limit to where we all face a decline of some kind at some point. And so we wanted to try to find the right balance. We thought 80 was the balance.
Yesterday's primary results also set up some key matchups that could determine control of Congress next year. You can read about these and get more election coverage in the Apple News app. Now to the president's son, Hunter Biden. Yesterday, a federal jury in Delaware found him guilty of 3 felony counts related to lying about his drug use while applying to buy a gun.
It's hard to overstate the significance of this.
That's Matt Visor, White House correspondent for The Washington Post. He covered the trial and says, politically, this moment is unprecedented. Presidential family members have had legal issues over the years, but no president's child has ever been convicted of a crime during his term. Plus, President Biden is in the middle of a re-election campaign. And Visor points out, the trial very publicly resurfaced a lot of painful history for the Biden family.
Hunter was in his worst parts of his battles with addiction, where he was in a romantic affair with his brother's widow. His marriage was breaking up. He was distant from his children.
The verdict came quicker than many anticipated. First Lady Jill Biden was in court every day, but apparently wasn't able to get back inside in time to hear the decision read aloud. President Biden did not go to court throughout the trial, but changed his schedule to go to Delaware yesterday after the verdict. In a statement, he wrote, "I am a president, but also a dad." He said, "Jill and I love our son and will always be there for Hunter."
I think they're trying to rally behind Hunter, who, you know, has talked about his struggles with addiction, and there is some worry that there could be some relapse due to the stress that this has put on him, even though he's kind of restabilized his life.
President Biden has tried to distance himself from the case by emphasizing the importance of an independent federal judiciary. His attorney general, Merrick Garland, appointed a special counsel to prosecute Hunter Biden, which Garland also did for Donald Trump in the pending federal case on Trump's handling of classified documents.
Donald Trump has sort of made the case of selective prosecution in his own case. Here, Democrats can point to President Biden's Justice Department not only being independent, but independent enough to prosecute the president's own son. And he has said he won't pardon his son. And so you, the American voters, should have faith in the justice system.
Hunter Biden's defense team, meanwhile, has called his case selective prosecution. The gun charges he faced are rarely brought to trial as a standalone crime. His lawyer promises to pursue all legal challenges.
Hunter Biden had the gun for 11 days. It was never fired. There was no larger crime committed because of it. So they've really argued that were there not a lot of pressure from Republicans to prosecute him, this case wouldn't have gone forward.
He's expected to be sentenced around early October. And in September, he faces separate federal charges and a tax case, which means the justice system, how it works, and who it prosecutes will continue to be a feature in the final stretch of the 2024 presidential campaign. Today is graduation day for the seniors of Newtown High School in Connecticut. The class includes students who survived the 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. They were in first grade then and hid in cubbies and closets or ran to survive. 20 of their classmates died, along with 6 educators. Henry Tarafay spoke with ABC News about how this milestone is marked by joy and celebration, like other high school graduations, but also by grief and the memories of friends they lost.
You know, I just try and remember them every day. I have my friend's name tattooed on my shoulder, so he stays with me every day.
His classmate, Grace Fisher, told the Associated Press how the violence dominated her childhood.
The shooting was kind of like our most core memory growing up. And I think that took away a lot of the joy that we could have experienced when we were 6 years old. And I can't really remember many times before the shooting. So in that sense, it really did take over those really innocent times. And it really forced us to grow up so fast when we didn't need to.
For some, the trauma they experienced as kids shaped what they plan to do as adults. Ella Seaver tells ABC she plans to pursue a career as a therapist.
I have been in and out of therapy almost my whole life, especially after the shooting. And it's really just helped me cope and helped me learn about myself. So I want to try and pay that forward and help people who have gone through gun violence, or even people who haven't, who are just struggling in their daily life.
Others plan to advocate for preventing gun violence through careers in law or politics. ABC asked Seaver what she wants to see from lawmakers.
Regulations on AR-style assault weapons. One of the hardest things is getting people to see eye to eye on it, which unfortunately is costing more and more lives every day.
According to the organization Every Town for Gun Safety, there have been 107 incidents of gunfire at schools this year alone, with 29 people killed. The students who spoke with ABC said they're tired of the political talk. Henry Tarafay says he wants to see real action to stop school shootings.
We don't want, you know, I'm sorrys, and, you know, this is so terrible it happened to you. Like, it's past that. You know, it's happened too many times. Your prayers honestly don't mean anything. It doesn't help me. I've had to deal with this for 10 years. It'll never get easier no matter how many times I talk about it. And honestly, it's just time for it to change.
Now, they're crossing the stage and getting their diplomas, becoming adults who might be able to help bring about that change. And they'll take those steps, carrying the memories of 20 classmates who should have been on stage with them. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next from The New Yorker. The story's an unusual one about what happened after Kanye West bought an architectural treasure. The Malibu Beach House, designed by a famous architect, is now a ruin. If you're listening in the podcasts app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.